Get your rain boots ready. It is almost time for the 65th annual Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival. For 10 days, the Cultural District downtown, and this year, the Rachel Carson Bridge, will be flooded with hundreds of artists, plus tons of food and beverages. It is our city's biggest, longest art party of the year and includes free performances. This year's headliners are Ben Folds, Lost Lonely Boys, Doom Flamingo, Martha Redbone, our local symphony, and so many more. It's all going down May 31st through June 9th, noon to 9 p.m. every single day. Find all the details and a map at trustarts.org/TRAF. Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, a very prominent local is being talked about in the Donald Trump trial, and it's not the first time this particular Pittsburgher has faced unsavory allegations. There's a ton of literary love coming to our city this weekend, and we're playing a game with a few books by local authors, plus the drama over the Heinz ketchup bottles continues. It's May 10th, the Friday News Roundup. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. I'm with CityCast Mallory Falk and Sophia Lowe. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are y'all ready for open streets tomorrow? A couple of us are on the early shift. A couple are on the later.
Yes, Megan, you and I will be hanging out in the South Side bright and early. I will be sipping on some tiramisu coffee from Delaney's. Let me know if you want anything.
Yeah, I might put in an order early.
Yeah, let me know. The route for Open Streets goes through downtown, the Armstrong Tunnel, the 10th Street Bridge, and down East Carson Street. We'll be posted up around the South Side Family Hub, and that's around the intersection of South 20th Street and East Carson.
And if you're not an early riser, I will be there for the second shift. Come say hi. You can check out the map on the Open Streets website, and you can catch our team anytime from 10 to 2. We'll have some stickers for anyone who signed up for our newsletter and or the podcast. And if you're not already, you can sign up right there in front of our faces, and we will give you some stickers. Plus, we will have some of our mics with us.
Yes, we are excited to ask Yinz some questions about your favorite ways to experience Pittsburgh, maybe what you're looking forward to this summer. But besides hanging out at our booth and talking to people about the show, I'm curious if there's anything else y'all are excited about, I don't know, to do, to see at Open Streets. It's a really big festival. It covers like two separate neighborhoods.
Yeah, I saw that Y on the Fly, which is part of the YMCA, has a station where you can come decorate your bike. I'm guessing it's probably geared more toward kids, but if they are giving out, you know, sparkly streamers for people of all ages, I would love to add a little pizzazz to my own bike.
I love that so much. I peeked at the schedule to see like what's around us. And there's a mobile skate park. I have tried skateboarding a couple times. But maybe I'll try again.
Yeah, and I saw, I think they're offering lessons, right? If you're a little nervous about skating.
Yeah, they are. I got lessons after my calculus class in college, so it's been a minute.
Different stress levels these days. I am excited about the temporary tattoos at Kyclops. I think I'm one of the only people among my friend group who doesn't have a real tattoo, but I guess I've never asked. Do y'all?
I do not. I just haven't found something that I feel like fully confident in committing to having on my body for the rest of my life. But my sister-in-law is actually a tattoo artist. So if and when the design comes to me, I will definitely go straight to her.
Ooh, awesome. That's a big perk. There's a few artists that I love, but they are not in the Pittsburgh area. I've like browsed a lot of tattoos on Instagram, but haven't really filtered or, you know, looked under the hashtag for Pittsburgh artists. So I should definitely do that and find someone that I love here.
Yeah, I love tattoos. I think they're so pretty. I'm just very indecisive. But Kyclops does amazing work. Friend of the podcast, Jessica Tella, is based there. So I'm stoked to wear anything, even temporarily, that they have dreamed up.
Yes, all the love to Jess. I guess we're going to take a pretty hard left turn into news now. Megan, what have you been watching this week?
Yeah, mine is bleak as hell. I am very sorry about that and should probably include a content warning. Mm. There will unfortunately be some discussion of sexual harassment and assault in regard to former President Donald Trump's hush money trial and its connection to a very famous Pittsburgher.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Ben Roethlisberger's name in headlines again this week.
Right. I mean, I had no idea he was connected to Trump, but we'll get into that. I did just want to flag one thing about the hush money thing. That's the language that's being used even by us as shorthand for this case. But he, as in Trump, is not in trouble for having an affair. The trial is about falsifying bank records, possibly deceiving voters and potentially influencing a U.S. election.
So give us the Cliff Notes version of what happened and what this case is about if people haven't been paying attention. I know there's multiple trials that Trump is facing.
Yes, this is only the first one. The other three, seemingly unlikely that we will see any of those this year before the election. But anyway, this is number one. So if you have not been watching or reading it, which polls suggest very few people are, it's about Trump using campaign funds to pay off Stormy Daniels, a former porn star, so she would keep a past sexual encounter of theirs quiet when he was running for president the first time.
Yeah, and just to get that chronology right, they had sex in 2006. Trump was married to Melania at the time. He, you know, decides to run for president in 2015, and he later gives Stormy Daniels a huge amount of money, $130,000, to keep the indiscretion to herself. He pays that through his fixer, Michael Cohen. But then Trump tried to cover it up in a way that allegedly interfered with the 2016 election, or that's what the court is going to decide. That's what this case is about.
Yeah, so this trial has been going for weeks, and this week, Stormy Daniels herself took the stand, which has included some wild details, but the one that we are focused on today is about a former Steeler, Ben Roethlisberger. He was the team's starting quarterback from 2004 to 2021, so 17 years. If you have been here for 10 minutes, you absolutely know that name. But Sophia, I was delighted to learn this week that you did not. I said Big Ben, and you just gave me the sweetest, most blank look.
Because I heard that and I was thinking, you know, London Big Clock, which obviously makes no sense in the context of all of this.
It was very pure. So back to Stormy. While she was on the stand, she talked about when she allegedly first had sex with Trump. Side note, the attorneys had to promise the judge that her testimony would not include descriptions of the former president's genitalia. And if you had that sentence on your 2024 bingo card, my hat is off to you. The Washington Post has the full transcripts posted of her multi-day testimony and a few big picture takeaways that I thought were really interesting if you want to read up on any of that.
But again, part of why we're talking about this on our show is because as part of this long testimony, Stormy Daniels also talked about Roethlisberger.
Right. So according to Daniels, this all happened in Nevada, like Lake Tahoe area in 2006. And she testified that later that same weekend after they first had sex, she saw Trump at a nightclub at the hotel where she was staying. She said Trump was with Ben Roethlisberger. She says she convinced Ben to let her try on his new Super Bowl ring. He was 24 years old at the time. She says she remembers it clearly because, quote, two of my fingers fit into it.
Wow, that phrasing.
Right. So Trump leaves and asks Roethlisberger to walk Stormy Daniels back to her hotel. And as she described what came next in her 2018 book, she says she was, quote, terrified of Ben in this moment, that he asked her for a goodnight kiss. And she said no, that he pushed on her door saying, come on, and knocked before walking away.
Well, as you said, Megan, she wrote about this in her book. So we did know about at least part of this a little while ago, right?
I mean, yeah, if you read her book back then, I did not. And I feel like this is like on such a bigger stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
I couldn't find anywhere where Ben has commented on being included in her book back in 2018 or being named again in this trial this week. He has a podcast where he and another dude literally recap Steelers games during the season. And he talks about like behind the scenes business and training stuff, and they taste beer together. So
that's
like he
a lot
talks.
Of my podcasts.
Yeah, he talks in public a lot, actually way more now than I think he ever did as a Steeler, but I just haven't seen anything in regard to any of this recently or really ever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised he wouldn't talk about it. This is not the first time that he has been accused of some pretty terrible stuff.
Yeah, sexual assault twice. In 2008, he was in Lake Tahoe again. He was formally charged for this in 2009 and settled with his accuser in 2011. And then a separate incident in 2010 for something that happened in Georgia when he was celebrating his 28th birthday. The DA in that case chose not to prosecute. But y'all, there were so many shitty details here that could have contributed to that outcome. The Post-Gazette reported at the time, we'll link it in the show notes, but it's kind of a gut-wrenching story, that the first officer to respond that night to the alleged victim had had his picture taken with Ben Roethlisberger earlier in the evening. When he got there, allegedly berated the accuser on the scene and then admitted to not really questioning Ben when he got there. And all of this, everything we're talking about, has been about a guy who for almost two decades was synonymous with our city and who, last I heard, still lives in the area.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've joked on the show before about my lack of interest or investment in the Steelers. This is one of the things that really shaped that. You know, these are obviously allegations, but for me, and I think a lot of people, it just made us not want to watch anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not a huge football or sports person either, but it's really sad and awful to hear that this person, who is such a prominent Pittsburgher, has been accused of all of these things and still stayed on the Steelers team.
Mm-hmm. For a very long time. And before we close out, just back to Trump briefly, I think it's worth one more reminder. This is just the first of four criminal trials that Trump is going to face. Seems unlikely that any of the other three are going to happen before November. But as we're recording this, they are still hanging over his and the rest of the nation's head. The show today is brought to you by an incredible local resource, AIDS Free Pittsburgh, and their pledge to end the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Allegheny County by 2030. If that is a cause that is close to your heart, make sure you're around for their biggest event of the summer, the 6th annual Too Hot for July. It is a party, but it is also a chance to get confidential HIV and STI testing for free, plus info on the incredible preventative medicines we have now to keep yins happy, healthy, and feeling your most confident out on the town. So come on out to Allegheny Commons East Park on Thursday, May 30th. Yes, July is in the name, but the event is in May. Don't get confused. May 30th from 4 to 10 p.m. There will be DJ sets, a health fair and marketplace, a ballroom-inspired dance battle, cash bar, food trucks, and more. Plus, a performance by Tony Award winner Alex Newell, a.k.a. Unique, from Glee. This is all thanks to True Tea Pittsburgh and so many folks doing the good work out here in the community. So do not miss out. Learn more at TooHotForJuly.com.
Okay, I think we could all use a palate cleanser after that last story. Sophia, I know you have something a little lighter to take us into the weekend.
Yeah, let's shake this off.
Absolutely. I'm going to take us into the weekend with something fun and local. Besides Open Streets, there's another pretty big event happening tomorrow, the Pittsburgh Greater Festival of Books.
Yes.
So that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's happening at the Theological Seminary in East Liberty, and the whole thing is basically a book convention. So authors giving panels, book signings, a poetry event, lots of different activities for kids.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule earlier today, and there's also workshops. So there's things like zine making. You can learn more about self-publishing. And then there's also a jazz panel. So maybe you're tagging along with a book-loving friend, but music is more your thing. And there's probably something that you'll find interesting there, too.
Yeah, we touched on this briefly in our Guide to May episode, but one of the things that looks most exciting to me about the whole thing is they've got a real focus on Pittsburgh this year. So yeah. Festival organizers brought in a ton of local authors to speak. And just FYI that if your favorite Pittsburgh writer is talking, we've heard recommendations to sign up for a panel or their workshop. If there's space, of course, anyone can just walk in. But registering ahead of time seems to be the move, because it'll guarantee you a seat.
Ooh, good tip. Plus, that means less time waiting in lines, more time browsing books. Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot more lately, but I'm going to be honest, I haven't checked out a lot of local Pittsburgh authors. But Megan, you had this fun idea to go through some of these local writers who will be at the festival. So I've grouped some books into threes, and we can just slot them into these fun categories. So first, what book you'd stay up all night reading. Second, what books you might read over and over. And then third, what you might shelve for later.
Yes. And just because a book is not our jam does not mean it's not something that we wouldn't, first of all, come back to ourselves. But second, it might be exactly what you want. So we've set some rules. But we're also not poo-pooing anything. They're all amazing, obviously. Sophia, what three books are we looking at first?
Okay, so first up, we have Claire Beams' novel, The Garden. So this is about motherhood and how women's bodies have been controlled. The main character, Irene, has had 5 miscarriages. And, you know, in the novel, she's gotten pregnant again and she goes to this isolated hospital facility to find some sort of treatment. And based on the descriptions and, you know, me just kind of like flipping through reviews, it seems like it's got some psychological horror vibe.
Not traditionally a horror gal myself, but...
Well, maybe then you'd like Weird Black Girls more. This is a collection of short stories by Elwyn Coleman. And, you know, I don't want to summarize all of the short stories, so I'll just take what Simon & Schuster's website says. This is a quote, "Irresistibly unnerving collection of stories that explores the anxieties of living while Black, a high wire act of literary fantastical hybrid fiction," end quote. And just one tease, one of these stories does include LARPing.
Live action role playing, for anyone who's not familiar
yes.
with the acronym.
Yes, thank you, Mallory. Not everyone is a nerd like me who spent too much time on Tumblr. And finally, the last author up for this round is Toy Derricotte. She's written a lot of poetry, but one of her books that stood out to me was The Empress of the Death House. So that draws on some of her experiences growing up and has this focus on her grandparents' funeral home. And she also founded Cave Canem. It's a major Black poetry organization. They have fellowships, all kinds of cool stuff.
These all definitely have a vibe.
Yes. What are you staying up all night with, Megan?
I think up all night I'll go Weird Black Girls. First of all, because it's short stories and I feel like that's very approachable at that hour, you know? I'm taking your categories very literally. Over and over, I'm going to go poetry, toys poetry. I think it's because I'm trying to like really get back into it. I feel like poetry right now is really helping my overtaxed brain sit with something and really chew on it, you know? I found it very healing. For later, I'm going to go to the garden. Mallory, I don't know how you're feeling, but I cannot deal with controlling women's bodies right now, particularly pregnant bodies.
Fair enough.
I am thrilled that someone is writing about that experience, though.
I actually have the opposite reaction. I don't think I could have handled the garden while I was pregnant, but now that I'm through it, I do want to read a book that kind of acknowledges the absolute wildness of what happens to your body and also the ways that people try to control it during the process.
Fascinating.
I also love psychological thrillers, so this does feel up my alley. It's possible I'd get one page in and it would be too soon and I would put it back down, but I am interested. But I'm also guessing one read of that book might be enough. And so that's why for the book I'd want to read over and over again, I'm going to go with Weird Black Girls. I'm also a fan of speculative fiction in addition to psychological thrillers. And I think short stories just lend themselves to being read over and over again. And then I'd probably pick The Empress of Death House at a later date, only because I do tend to prefer novels and short stories over poetry. But if I were going to choose a poetry collection, I am really intrigued about this funeral home.
Yeah, same here. Poetry isn't my top choice usually, Mallory. So that would kind of go for shelf for later for me too. But, you know, this funeral home and death, that feels like something that poetry would capture really well. And then, yeah, my top pick is same as Megan's, the short story collection, partially because of the LARPing, but I love speculative fiction, fantasy, magical realism, all of those kind of elements. And then Garden is something that I probably would read over and over again just because I do read a lot of psychological horror, but maybe not something I'd prioritize first because I looked at my like list, like I track all of my reading in graphs and stuff.
Of course
and
you
I
do.
Have read so much horror this year already.
None of this surprises me, Sophia.
Nope. I am a seasonal horror person only. I will give myself like one book as we approach like Halloween. Okay, next round. I'm kind of curious what you're going to pick here, Sophia.
Yeah, so for romance, I actually have something that I think is really cool. Two authors who wrote one book together. This book is called She Gets the Girl by Rachel Lippincott and Allison Derrick. And they are married, and that is so cute. So She Gets the Girl is a sapphic young adult rom-com. It takes place on a college campus, and these two girls are pursuing other people, but then fall in love with each other.
Sophia, please tell me that this is their love story and this is semi-autobiographical.
I was poking around for like interview transcripts and they said that the story does have hints of their relationship. So yes. but throwing in some books that are pretty different. So Ed Simon is an editor at Belt Magazine and he wrote an alternative history of Pittsburgh, which I've seen on a lot of local bookshelves. But the book that I'm putting up for this selection is Pandemonium, a visual history of demonology.
Is that literally about demons?
Yep, I think the title pretty much sums it up. So, you know, you can read about Satan and other fallen angels and other big demonic figures in the Western canon. So Lilith, Azazel. Sounds like there's a lot of very good and colorful imagery in the book, too.
Okay, so just to clarify, Sophia, this is kind of a grab bag section. You are not lumping this into the romance category.
No, this is a grab bag section because our local authors do very different things sometimes.
This isn't about two fallen angels falling for each other.
No, that's Good Omens. Well, I guess that's an angel and a demon, so, but.
Okay, anyway, what else do you have on your list?
Yeah, what's the last one?
So this last pick's from Shannon Reed. She's the director of undergraduate studies for the writing program at Pitt. So I think that makes a lot of sense that she wrote this book called Why We Read on Bookworms, Libraries, and Just One Page Before Lights Out.
Definitely a mixed collection there. Mallory, you want to start this time?
Yeah, so I would say She Gets the Girl sounds like the kind of book you want to read in one sitting because you're so invested in the love story. So that would be my up all night pick, but I actually think I'm going to try to gobble this one up in a day. I'm going to the beach later this summer, and I think I might bring this one along. It sounds perfect for like a summer vacation read. Libraries would probably be my pick for Over and Over. And then apologies to Ed Simon. I do really love his alternate history of Pittsburgh. That is a book I return to over and over, but I'm just not that into demons. So that's going to be the one I might shelve for a little bit later.
Mallory, we have the exact same 1, 2, 3 on that one. I actually interviewed Rachel and one of her writing professors who'd recommended her for her first like big writing gig. And the way the two of them talked about publishing, I just learned so much. And obviously she's gone on and done great things since then. So I'm excited to see her on this list. The demon part, I want to see the pictures, I think, more than anything. It's by a nose. Those all three are really interesting to me.
Okay, well, I'm going to mix it up. Demonology is my top because I watched too much Supernatural as a child. I know I said I didn't really love romance, but the fact that these authors are married and wrote it together is really the selling point for me. So I think that's something I might read over and over again. Maybe this would be a seasonal read for me too, like around Valentine's Day. And then the last one for me is nonfiction, just because like we read so much nonfiction during the day. Like this book about bookworms sounds very interesting, but
you want an escape.
Yeah, I don't want to live in a reality when I read.
I don't know, man. I like my pleasure reading to also include like element. Like I want to go to the library. Like that sounds like a pleasure activity for me. Anyway, if any of these titles caught your interest, again, the Greater Pittsburgh Festival of Books is tomorrow. A lot of these local authors will be speaking. They'll be panelists. They'll have workshops. So check out the website for more. Before we go, anything y'all will be thinking about into the weekend? Mallory, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I want to share a couple freebies for the weekend if you're looking for last-minute Mother's Day ideas. Eaton Park is going to have free smiley cookies for moms. I can't think of anything that's more wholesome and classically Pittsburgh. And then the zoo is doing free admission for moms if your child is present. I guess they're not going to take your word for it. You can't just stroll in without a child. But if you've got a kid in tow, you can get in for free.
If the weather is good, you will definitely see me at the zoo on Sunday. My mom loves it, and my kid hasn't been yet. Also, if you need more Mother's Day recommendation ideas, there is a fantastic roundup on our website right now. That's pittsburgh.citycast.fm.
Sophia, what about you?
I just want to recommend a piece from my partner, Jacob Lazaro, aww, at WESA. Yeah, hashtag journalism power couple, hashtag we have too many microphones in one room.
I love that you're bestowing that hashtag on yourself, but I endorse it.
Anyway, he did some reporting about why the East End is so flat compared to the rest of Pittsburgh. So this piece has info about our rivers, geology, fun facts about Schenley Plaza. So I feel like it's a really nice weekend read, especially if you're interested in like science and history.
It is a very nice read, co-signed. We featured it in our Hey Pittsburgh newsletter. And mine is some unfortunate but really funny news from our friends at the Heinz History Center, who are apparently in trouble for going around some city zoning rules when they installed that giant Heinz ketchup bottle in the corner of the building back in December. So the zoning board is now considering what to do with it. Bless. I just love that these two ketchup bottles from, you know, the old Heinz field, they just keep on giving us good news.
Zoning boards, stay away from the Heinz ketchup bottle. Let it stay up.
Hear our pleas.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. A reminder, today is your last day to become a member of CityCast Pittsburgh and be entered to win a full day of curated recommendations from our very own Sophia Lowe. So jump on over to membership.citycast.fm/Pittsburgh and get ad-free listening in your life as well. Our music is by Benji. The show is produced this week by Mallory Falk and Sophia Lowe. Francesca DeBecco, Natalia Aldana, and I wrote the newsletter. And I'm your podcast host, Megan Harris. We'll be back Monday with more news from around the city. Have a great weekend, everyone. Douche canoe. That one did it for you.
Yeah.